Job and Paul and Mark, in all these thoughts and reflections we have today, Job and Paul and Mark were all aware that we, you, I, all of us, we are made of parts. And they were well aware that anything made of parts will, sooner or later, begin to break down. Now, when human beings begin to break down, this is a very complicated thing. It involves the body with all its manifold parts, and it involves the soul with all its powers. It involves the mind and the will. It involves the imagination and the emotion. It involves faith. It involves fear when we begin to break down. These readings, this subject, give us a bit of a hint about how we are to handle that slow breaking down which we call living, how to handle that. Now, when illness or accident or simple age comes, it is important in the very first place that you seek the help of others. Always first, seek the help of others. Sickness, loss, these will leave you feeling deeply alone and sometimes even unable to move, unable to function. Your immediate family, your friends, they will be crucial in helping you through that if you seek them. And further, if your problem is a physical one, also seek the help of the one who can help. Seek the doctors of the body. If your problem is a psychological one, seek the help of the ones who can help, the doctors of the mind. We are all obliged, you and I, to take care of ourselves in all our parts. It is our duty to take the normal means to stay healthy, to continue living in the healthiest possible manner. Seek persons like these first. And I know I see a lot of men out here, and it's very hard for a man ever to want to go to a doctor. He would rather have both legs amputated than go to a doctor to have them saved. Very hard. Seek these people first and put your faith in their training and their experience. Most often, that faith will be rewarded. Health will return. When illness or accident come, seek the help of others. Sadly, sometimes that healing does not come. Sometimes that suffering is prolonged and prolonged unbearably. Sometimes you can be left feeling overwhelmed, quite alone, even in the midst of the finest of friends. Sometimes you can be depressed and feel almost less than human. What happens then? What do you do with that? How do you react to evil of this frightening kind? St. Ignatius of Loyola was wounded in a battle in about the year 1521, and he was eventually taken to his hometown of Loyola in Spain. And he had a name for this thing I've just described. Ignatius knew whereof he spoke. He had been wounded in that battle. It was a senseless war. It was a senseless act on his part to go back into the danger zone. He had been wounded in that battle, and he had undergone multiple surgeries after that. He suffered through 9 months of almost total bed rest. He never could walk again without a limp. He went through this long 9 month period, this retreat in pain. Okay? He had a name for this. What he called it was spiritual desolation. Spiritual desolation. What he meant by that, they can keep it very simple. What he meant by that was a heaviness of heart. A heaviness of heart. A heaviness that was hard to bear and almost impossible to shake. This heaviness was not caused by God, he said. God gives us consolation. God gives us a lightness of heart. This was not caused by God. But it was permitted by God. And for some good reason, known only to God at the start. It can become known to you too, if you stay close to the God who knows it. It's not caused by God, it's permitted by God, this desolation. He called it desolation because of the heaviness, because of the darkness, because of the confusion, because of the sadness, because of the sense of separation from God that's all wrapped up in it. That's why he called it desolation. He called it spiritual because there is a form of non-spiritual desolation. He called it spiritual because of the effect it can have on your life of faith, on your relationship with God. For example, when you are in the grip of this spiritual desolation, you may find it very easy to want to resist praying. You may find it very easy to want to resist getting up in the morning, Sunday morning, and going to Mass. You may find it very easy to resist any of the sacraments, especially the sacrament of penance. You may find it easy to turn away from God and from all the things of God, all the things you knew growing up. You can allow bitterness and anger and resentment to grow ever more deeply rooted in your hearts. So that in the end, you can come to turning God off. You can come to blocking God out. You can come to stop having anything to do with the very one who made you for communion with himself. You can turn your back on your own destiny, on your own origin, on your own end. It's madness, if you think about it. Why would you do that? What do you do? What do you do when you find yourself in such an utterly bleak place? Ignatius was a very simple man. He was a very practical man. He was a very down-to-earth man. What he said was this: you should never, never make any change in your life when you are held fast in the deadly grip of spiritual desolation. Never, ever make any change during that time. If you are a baptized Catholic, do not stop believing what you once believed. Make no change. Do not stop doing what you once with joy did. Make no change. Do not stop trying to get closer to God the way you once tried to get close. Make no change. The enemy, and by that Ignatian meant a large thing. He meant the devil himself, of course, but he also meant you, and he also meant me, because we are wounded by original sin, and we have added by our own personal sins to that wound. We too contribute to the darkness. And he also meant the pressure of the world around us. Ours is a world of passing fads, of passing things that attract your attention and call out you to this or to that. The enemy will do everything he can to induce you to change. He will throw up every obstacle. He will give you every false reason. He will tell you every lie that's possible. Recognize the heaviness. Recognize the darkness for what it is and for where it comes from. That's what St. Ignatius counseled us to do. Recognize it and resist it. Recognize and resist. Do not change from trying to know and to love and to serve God. The enemy will give you every reason not to do that. Do not change. Never, ever change. If you do, your illness, that desolation, will become terminal. It will lead you in the end to deny God any place in your life. It will lead you to an end, in the end, to losing God forever. It's that serious. You came from Him, you're made for Him, that is your destiny. And to let this black cloud lead you to deny that, to turn away from Him, to change all the things you know about living? Never change, Ignatius said. Never, ever change. The God of mercy, no matter where you are, in the deepest sin, the deepest patterns of sin, in the deepest throes of physical illness, in the deepest throes of emotional illness, in the deepest desolation, no matter where you are, the God of mercy always, always, always invites you to come to Him. Always. But this God of mercy never forces himself upon you. He invites. You have to respond. You have to open your heart. You have to invite him in. He never forces himself upon you. So if you're caught in desolation of that kind, and these things always come and go in our lives, if you're caught in that, keep what Ignatius said in mind. Never, ever change your way of life because of this dark, black cloud. Amen.